I'm your average action movie survivor. When I'm not busy trying to avoid massive superhero battles with people getting thrown through walls or dodging giant robots about to step on me, I'm listening to the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. Be sure to check out Part-Time Fanboy at parttimefanboy.com for somewhat weekly podcasts and reviews about various fanboy-related subjects. Also, be sure to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Do it now, because the Robopocalypse is coming!
Oh,
hello.
I got everyone now.
It's recording now?
Holy shit, it's recording.
Awesome.
Hold on. Yeah, wait, is it recording me? Yeah, all
right.
Most
importantly, did it record that?
It's recording all of us, it looks like.
All right, that's awesome.
Motherfucker. So after an hour of bullshit...
Yes! That was our best podcast.
Yes.
Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
Oh, my God.
Dude, honestly, I wish that recorded just so you could put it on the site and, like, people could download and listen to that.
I just wish that people knew the shit that Christian goes through just to bring them their entertainment.
Yeah,
that's
right.
True.
Like anybody gives a shit. Oh, my God. So should we record something? I mean...
Absolutely.
God.
Let's do something, dude.
All right,
absolutely.
So for
even
anyone
if it's a mini.
Who's listening at this point, I basically installed a new hard drive onto my computer, and my sound drivers were fucking fucked, and I have not been able to they couldn't hear me. Paul and Ian couldn't hear me for like an hour. And I had to go upstairs and find my sound card disc, and even though it works for everything else, and then what? Skype wasn't working, and what the fuck?
We spent the last hour basically bouncing around every communication website known to man. Just so that we could come and talk to you about crappy sci-fi movies.
Oh my God. I'm so, like, mad right now. I don't think many people realize how mad I am when I start the podcast because of all the glitches and just BS, and it's supposed to be technology, man. Oh, wait,
yeah.
I'm coming in really low.
You ever notice that in, like, movies in the future... Like, they never have to reload their drivers on board the Enterprise.
Never.
Like,
never.
You're never targeting... They're never, like, attacking the Death Star, and, like, they have to run, like, a system patch update on, like, their engine or anything like that.
Hold on, guys. Something's burning.
Uh-oh.
Hold on.
Jesus.
You keep going.
I'm looking in the...
Is anything burning?
I am really... Look at my sound levels are really low.
The neighbors are barbecuing.
Oh, good.
Oh,
Christian.
Motherfucker. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
You got us?
I've got you. I am...
Okay.
Hold on. I am messing... I'm increasing my microphone levels, but that's not really doing anything. Okay, there you go. Whoa, that just jumped. All right. So, I think we're okay now. So, who wants to start with our lovely podcast that I fucking want to kill myself over every week? Because, I don't
know.
Well, Hold on. Let me listen to something. Hold on. All right. I think we're good.
All right. Let's do it.
All right. If not, you know, you'll get an email from me after I've killed myself.
Hey, don't joke about that.
Email's
not funny.
Lead to suicide, kids. That's basically...
Well, if you're gonna do it, can you at least post this before you...
Yeah, I know, right? That's the important thing. So...
All right. Let's jump into this. Let's jump in full force. All right. And let's talk. This is the week that the RoboCop trailer dropped.
Oh, that's a good topic.
Yeah, it is a good topic.
Since we're talking about shitty technology, let's go straight to RoboCop.
What the fuck is with that? I mean, the thing that kills me... Well, who did anyone like it, or am I the only
one? All right. I thought it's got potential because Michael Keaton was doing some good acting.
Honestly...
I'm going to say it is nice to see Michael Keaton on the screen.
It is.
Serious.
It is. And honestly, that's like one of the biggest reasons why I was like, oh, maybe that would be interesting to go see, just to see Michael Keaton.
But I think much like Star Trek Into Darkness with Wrath of Khan, I'm letting my goodwill for Michael Keaton sort of overshadow the badness of what's going on. It does not look appealing.
It doesn't look good to me at all. It looks like they've sucked all the charm out of the original movie. Like, and it just, it looks... like they've obviously they've removed all the satire from it, right?
I don't know. I mean, unless they're like Samuel Jackson's hair is sort of a satirical. Yeah.
Why
thing
is he
on there?
In this movie though? Why?
He's
why
the
is
general.
Sam Jackson again? He's there. Why is he showing up everywhere?
I don't know, man. You know, nothing going on but the rent, man. He's got to pay for his fifth beach house or whatever.
Look, I'm not going to begrudge anyone their job. It's just that I think if you're going to make a RoboCop movie, I mean, don't make it slick and shiny the way... I mean, you know, like, I mean, it's just... It feels like he's out there protecting a set. It doesn't feel like he's out there, you know, working in a city. It feels like he's on a set, you know? It's like, oh, you know, he's stalking the mean streets of Toronto.
I just think it's very indicative of what's happened to the movie industry in general. Like, there's no creativity to it. It's just like, hey, we kind of redesigned the suit. He looks a little slicker. He moves a little faster. Like, and all the BS with, like, the wife and the little boy. You know, obviously I haven't seen the movie yet, but it just removes so much of the pathos of the character, you know, a big deal in the original movie was that he could not go back to his family, right?
Right.
Like, that was the tragedy of it, that he had become something, and now for his wife to, like, and then the fact that his wife has to approve of the procedure, like, just, like, that was one of the things of, like, what, Omnicore, which was, like, that they were such a scumbag company that they would just, you know, when you joined the police force, you signed a release to this corporation, and they could do whatever they wanted with your remains. Like,
you know, honestly, here's the detail that really sort of like told me, okay, this is bad news. He still has his hand.
He
still has his
hand?
Human. He still has one human hand on this,
Jesus.
Because that was a point in the original one. Remember,
the
doctors worked. They were like, "Oh, we can save that," and they were like, "No, fuck that, cut it off." We didn't. You know, we don't want anything. You know, the less humanity we have in this, the better. You know, you know, like they went that far, and with this one, it's, you know, it's like, you know, they left his hand, and but you know, let's face it, Omnicorp wouldn't do that.
No, and that's the thing with the original, that it was kind of like almost like a horror movie feel in a way, right? Like, it was almost like Cronenberg, you know, where it was like, oh my God, like, and then it was, you know, it was sci-fi in the best way that sci-fi could be, which is like predicting, like, hey, this could happen, you know, and the way things are going, you know, giant corporations that just do whatever, you know, Monsanto and stuff like that.
Right.
It's like...
Right. But
it was terrifying.
But you never got the sense that, like, okay, this could happen, and it's so cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what the new one's all about. It's like, look, you know, this can happen, and like we can make. It's almost a little more like $6 Million Man-ish in a way, you know.
But I'd rather see that, quite frankly.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, when I saw it, it was a huge, like, you know, facepalm. I just I want to like it because I really like a lot of the people involved in it,
Me
you know?
too.
But
Well, there's a heavy-handed nature, going back to what Christian said, and I think the slickness factor in the system is so high because, I mean, it's just so high. Like, we were watching Breakfast Club this week, right? And the Ally Sheedy character, you know, she's like the goth character, right? She's dark. She's compared to the others, she's dark. You know, she's got crap in her purse. And like Heidi was like, man, if this was today, she'd have like 10 pounds of makeup on. She'd be like uber goth. And it's like, yeah, it's like everything's just turned up to 11 when sometimes it just doesn't have to be.
They wouldn't let her have dandruff, that's for sure.
It's like this weird, like, sort of like Macintosh, like iPod future, like everything has to be like slick, and it's what's that, District 9? Like, that's sci-fi. That's like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Is it just like this optimism that people have, but it's like, or this denial that like Hollywood has of like the world around them, where it's like they're really afraid, it seems these days, to get into the nitty-gritty of stuff. You know what I mean? And like how you know, scary the world can be. And you know, I feel really bad for the lead guy because he is on that show, The Killing, on AMC, and
Oh, he's
he's
from TV.
amazing on that show.
Really?
He is fantastic on The Killing. He's funny, he's like charming. You know, he's playing like a cop who used to be an addict and is kind of like has like a street personality. And
Well, then
this
I.
movie's just gonna like just like reduce his credibility like to like nothing
Is he
because
too young, you guys think, for the role?
No.
I don't
No?
think he's too young, but
I don't think he's too young. I can already tell that, like, you know, that they're not really serving his character by the choices that they sort of made with the script. You know what I mean? And you know, it's awkward. You know, it's awkward. All the family stuff that I saw in the trailer just came across as very awkward.
It was actually.
Really bad.
And so,
Come talk
whereas
to
in
your son. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah,
Like,
whereas in the first one, you know, because they're sort of on the periphery of it, you know, it's like they're not prominently featured, but it's just enough for you to get a chance, get a sense of what he's lost. You know,
Well, it's in flashback, right?
I think you know, he you spend there may be like one brief scene
There's the
with
scene
them,
where
you
he
know.
goes back to his house and he's remembering his wife and
You
his
know,
kid, but he never has
and then
any
there's
direct
like
contact with them.
and then there's like the scene where, like, you know, he's twirling the gun because it's like on his kid's favorite show and
Yeah,
stuff like
TJ
that, you know,
Laser.
like, yeah, you know, it's stuff that's sort of like really sort of indirectly referred to. And so, like, you I don't know, it's like you just get a sense of the loss, you know, that comes across so much more. Whereas with this one, because they're so much more prominent, and because they're so much involved with him after the transition, you know, it's kind of awkward, you
It's
know. And
direction. It is Cronenberg, because if you look at something like Videodrome, where you're kind of just sitting in a pool of like, just he makes you just live in these nasty places, you know?
And
And
hey, and don't let me forget about Cronenberg, by the way, because I've got a something on that. But go ahead.
No, I'm just saying this product, the product that came out had really just slick cuts, really slick look. Everything about it was polished, slick, and updated, and it's a remake, so
Yeah. That seems to be that's the remake formula now. Take everything about the original and just shiny it up, you know.
And it's not even like they didn't even do anything. It's the thing that kills me is like, oh, well, people are like, well, it's a remake, you know, you have to look at it with new eyes. The original was 30. And I'm like, you can still watch the original today, and it will blow somebody who's never seen it away. They'll be like, oh my God, it won't look like something that was made today, because it seems like a lot of stuff that was made today is crap. But, you know, it's almost like, you know, once it gets into the hands of like a certain studio or something, like all bets are off. It's just like, yeah, we gotta shine that turd, boy. Like we gotta, mm-hmm, like there's no, like I'm afraid of the new Mad Max. You know, like Mad Max, like the whole thing yeah, of Mad Max is that the world looks like shit, you know,
yeah,
and at least, you know, it's the original director of Mad Max.
Yeah, it's the original director, and, you know, and it's, you know, going to be released through a studio, but I believe that, you know, his company's still the one that's making it, you
yeah
know, so,
wow.
I've got a lot of faith in him, if nothing else, because the man made Babe.
And, yeah, no, he is
Babe,
a brilliant
and
filmmaker.
And Babe 2, which is honestly one of my favorite movies of all time.
I've never seen Babe or Babe 2, believe
dude,
it or not.
Babe 2 is one of the darkest kids movies that you'll ever see. But
I guess I'm
but
have
it's
to put
wonderful.
It on.
But Cronenberg, you know, David Cronenberg's son is making movies now.
Yeah, yeah.
Brandon Cronenberg. And I started watching Antiviral, which is his... debut, really, really good. He's got a lot of sort of the old man's science fiction, you know, meets Strange Society kind of stuff.
I saw the trailer for that, and it looked really, really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's very interesting. He's got a very interesting lead character. If you don't know the hook on it, it's that basically in the future that celebrity culture has gotten so extreme that people are willing to pay to be infected with like the same strain of like sicknesses as their favorite celebrities. You've got the same cold that, you know, your favorite celebrity has, you know.
Wow.
And there's like sort of a rush to find like the most current sickness / the most extreme sickness. And I believe they actually made it in Iceland. The lead actor in it is really, really cool. His name's Caleb Jones, uh-huh, and he's like sort of got red hair and freckles. You know, he's like a very unusual looking dude. But I'd recommend it. It's a interesting interesting movie. It's Netflix streaming right now.
Oh, cool. I guess I know what I'm watching this weekend. It's interesting. I'm very excited about that. You know, I really do like Cronenberg, and he's not for everyone, but he's definitely for me. But it's funny. This is not like a direct segue, but I saw Hollywoodland this past weekend.
Yes.
Yes.
And what did you think of?
Not a good movie, dude. That is not a good movie. Dude, the script is... Okay, so for anyone who has not seen Hollywoodland, it is the story of, like, an investigator trying to figure out the truth behind George Reeves, who played Superman on, you know, Adventures of Superman or the Superman show in the 50s, right? And basically, there's been all these theories throughout the years that he didn't really commit suicide, that he was murdered, or, you know, there was something going on. And the movie is like 2 hours long. It's very sort of like ponderous. And who's the lead guy? He's really good.
Adrian Brody.
He is excellent in the movie.
Yeah.
He's fantastic. He's a big reason to watch it, you know, in and of itself. But it's really strange, and, you know, spoilers, because the whole movie is him investigating as to whether, like, George Reeves committed suicide, and they start building up all these theories and setting up all these suspects, and then by the end of the movie, it's like, he committed suicide. And it's like, really? I just watched this fucking two-hour movie because I thought you were gonna, like, and, you know, they do give me theories or whatever, but at the end, you know, the investigator's kind of like, yeah, well, you know, you committed suicide. And it's just like, what? The other thing is, okay, the elephant in the room is Ben Affleck, okay? I think he does an okay job acting, but he does not do a good job of playing George Reeves. It's weird. There's this This thing that I have with Ben Affleck is that he doesn't seem like all that comfortable in his skin. He seems like very stiff, and he doesn't move like he's just like flexible, like he seems uncomfortable, especially in this movie. He didn't seem like very sort of like in the role. It seemed like he was playing something. But there were moments like there's a moment in the movie like where they have the camera on him, and there's a quiet moment like right before he's going to commit suicide, where I was like, oh, that's interesting. But he was doing this weird kind of manner of speaking, and I've seen enough episodes of Superman to know that that's not how George Reeves spoke. It was like this weird, like upper crust New England, like, and then they did something to his nose, and I was like, George, why are you? You don't look like George Reeves, and that nose doesn't look like George Reeves. So why are you doing that? And why is the makeup? So it kind of stuck out to me. But the thing is like, I just don't. It's not that I don't think it was a bad performance. I think it's fine for the movie, you know, if it's just going to be like high generic actor that's supposed to be George Reeves. But he just doesn't have that edge, guys. He does not have the edge that I see as Batman. And what's interesting is after watching this movie, and I could see him playing Superman, because Superman's much more of that sort of like reserved sort of, you know, a little bit of a, maybe not so much the way Christopher Reeves played him, but maybe a slightly older Superman where he's more reserved, sort of like stiff, you know, a stiff upper lip guy, you know. I could see him doing that, but I just don't see him as Batman, dude. And Amy called it. We were watching that show Ray Donovan, and she was like, Liev Schreiber would have made an amazing Batman. And I was like, oh, good call. He, especially after watching Ray Donovan, he would have been an awesome Batman. So those are my thoughts of Hollywood Land. It didn't convince me, man. It didn't. I don't think that Ben Affleck is a horrible actor, but he can't. It doesn't seem like he can inhabit a role. I've never really seen him seem comfortable on screen.
No, he's always just Ben Affleck. It's like he comes over and hangs out with you, has a beer, watches TV, does some acting with you, but he's always the same kind of guy. I thought though in Hollywood Land, he got the closest. He was starting to head towards like actor. Like you could actually say, holy, he's doing some work here.
Yeah.
I think maybe he has trouble just stepping out of his own skin. It seems like he's very self-aware of what's happening. He could be nervous. He could have body issues. You know, some guys are just not comfortable in their skin, like you were saying.
Yeah.
It's you know, is he even trained?
I think he is. I mean, he is. But
I'd be shocked if he was.
I just feel that he, like you said, he has. It seems like he has an inability to let go of himself. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's a lot of actors like that. You know, there's a lot of actors like that. I mean, dude, the guy is like. I was watching this movie and I was like, wow, he really, in this movie in particular, he really did look like that old Hollywood, you know, actor. He really did look like that 50s. Like, he pulled that off to me. But it just didn't seem like he became something else. You know what I mean? And
he's afraid. There's a timidness to him.
Yeah,
And he doesn't go towards, it's like he sees the fire and he's inching towards it. But it's not like it's an easy thing. But there's nothing really about his acting that says he's trained at all.
I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. But I think that he's taken like acting classes and stuff. There's no way that he knows enough to direct other actors. I mean, he's got to be trained. But that's the thing is like I said, like it's weird that I'm sitting there, Superman being one of my favorite characters, and I'm like, you know what? I could see him maybe as Superman, you know,
sure.
as the more sort of like kingdom, not Kingdom Come Superman, like the Alex Ross Superman, you know, where
right,
it's
right.
like very broad chested, very sort of like
right.
I'm here to help, you know what I mean? Like,
I guess I go one further though. He's always drinking in these movies. Why not make him a drunk Hal Jordan?
That's he would make a good Green Lantern.
He'd be great because
yeah.
he has that kind of somber, you know, he could do that like he did in Hollywood Land.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a great Hal Jordan, better than that other
Ryan Reynolds.
That.
Yeah. That's a really good call. I could see Ben Affleck as Hal Jordan, you know?
Yeah.
Because again, like I said, he really did play off that sort of like leading man, but I'm not like loose. I'm not like, hey everybody. You know, I'm an authority figure. I follow the rules. I don't step out of the box that comfortably. And I think that if Ben Affleck were really smart, which I think he is, because in Argo, the thing that we didn't talk about in our last podcast about Argo, the thing that I thought he was really smart at in Argo was playing the character who had to be in control all the time. He had
right.
to play the CIA guy, and he was the guy that had to have the poker face. He had to be calm. He couldn't get frazzled. He couldn't get too, you know, riled up about stuff. And because he was directing, that was a really good choice, that he never really had any big emotional scenes, and he left that stuff to all the other actors. And I think that's what he's good at. So I think if he were to make like really good choices in the future, he should play like cops, like FBI agents, like, you know, stuff like that. Not that he can't delve to those emotional depths, but to me, he seems more like a guy that comes across, like I said, like the beat cop, you know what I mean? Or like a fireman, somebody who's here and that you see him and you're like, oh, he's here to help, you know, like Hal Jordan, like a test fighter pilot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I really don't see him as Batman. But it looks like it's going to happen, so,
yep.
you know, whatever. We'll see. But I just don't want to come across as a Ben Affleck hater anymore, because I really do respect the guy's talent and his ability. And Hollywood Land as a whole movie was flawed. Oh, but let me tell you what. You know what it did convince me of? Is that Bob Hoskins would have made an amazing Lex Luthor. He would be amazing. You know, the bald head, he's overweight, he's intimidating as hell. Like, Bob Hoskins, I watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit a couple of weeks ago with my daughter. She loved it, by the way, just was laughing hysterically during the whole thing. But Bob Hoskins has this incredible ability of coming across as, like, really friendly and genial and just, like, super... He can be super awesome. And then in another movie, he can just come across as, like, absolutely terrifying. Like,
he's
talk about a guy who knows his craft, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, and if they don't get, you know, Bryan Cranston from... Maybe they should look at Bob Hoskins, because I think he would be scary as hell. You know,
because
he was scary in Hollywood Land. He just had a couple of small scenes, and especially the scene at the end where he's like, you know, prove that I did anything, you know, and that was just like, that was intense. But I think Hollywood Land and Diane Lane, she was amazing. She was fantastic. Probably one of her best performances. But the movie as a whole just kind of couldn't pull it together for me. I don't know.
That happens with a lot of, like, you know, true story, you know, movies that, you know, they're interesting stories, you know, and like you see like the appeal and everything, but they just don't necessarily translate to like a great movie.
Yeah. I don't know. So Ian, you picked up a couple of comics this week that you wanted to talk about, right?
Yeah. I went to Golden Apple again. I just dropped in, pre-Golden Apple. It was Rosh Hashanah services, and we were in Culver City by Comics Inc., which is a really great comic shop on Overland. I picked up three of the DC villain books.
Yeah.
I limited myself to three. Because I'm not a collector of recurring issues. I only collect trades.
Yeah. Same here.
Read those. I was telling Paul, those were pretty thin. As far as, you know, getting a story down. But I went back to Golden Apple, and I picked up Hawkeye, My Life is a Weapon.
I want to get that.
It's fantastic. It's Matt Fraction and Asia. I hope I'm saying that right. AJA. He illustrates the first three, and then they have another illustrator for the last three. There's six books in there, one through six. Uh-huh. It's fantastic. I mean, I still have one more story to go, but I would love to see a movie. I mean, I would watch a Hawkeye movie if they did it like this book.
Really?
And I don't want to say too much about it, because you guys should check it out.
Okay.
I picked up Hush finally. Didn't start it yet, but just. I'm surprised I didn't pick up that book earlier, since it's got pretty much the X-Men creative team with Jeff Loeb writing.
Yeah.
And if it's not Incredible Hulk, then Jeff Loeb's good.
Oh, really?
His Incredible Hulk was like reading a kindergartner book where each panel was a monster just going, "Rawr!" And it was...
Dude, I love that book.
I've never read it. Hulk Green, right, or something?
I don't. Red, green, rainbow. I mean, it's not. I can't. Even, I don't. Can't talk about it. Right.
He is a Hulk Rainbow now.
Skittles. I like Jeff Loeb. I think he's a really good writer.
I love him. Him and Tim Sale are one of my favorite creative teams. I recently, read the whole entire Long Halloween.
I haven't read that yet.
It's just a gorgeous trade. It's the artwork, and I mean, it's wow. And the fact that, I didn't realize this. Christopher Nolan took a lot from Long Halloween for his trilogy. Uh-huh. And I didn't realize that. So reading that was really good in seeing this is where they came with this stuff. I mean, it's an interesting take. But all right, so Hush, Hawkeye, My Life is a Weapon. And then I picked up the first Grant Morrison Batman and Robin trade.
Uh-huh.
That collects 1 through 6 of the Batman and Robin, which is the New 52. I haven't gotten into it yet, but I love Grant Morrison, so.
Okay.
Is that the New 52, or was that the New 52?
No, I think it came out with the New 52.
I don't think so, man. I think it was a couple years before, because Grant Morrison was writing Action Comics.
Yeah.
With the New 52. I think, and that's Batman and Robin with, like, Dick Grayson, right, as Batman?
No, Damian.
But Dick Grayson's Batman and Damian's Robin.
Yeah, Damian's Robin and Dick Grayson's Batman. Yeah, yeah. Because they did something like Final Crisis or Ultimate Crisis or some kind of crisis where Batman got killed and everyone thought he was dead, and what really happened was
he traveled through time.
Yeah, he got thrown back through time. Or
that's awesome. Don't tell me this. I'm probably going to read these.
I've been wanting to... I was reading the Grant when he introduced Damian. I was reading the Grant Morrison stuff, and his stuff was really, really good. And I've wanted to go back. I kind of stopped picking up the regular issues, the single issues, and I've wanted to go back and pick up those trades. I've just never gotten around.
There's a bunch of them. That's the nice part. There's a bunch of them. So after the 1 through 6, I think it goes pretty deep, which is great, because I'll probably get those after. I just finished Batman Black Mirror, which is Dick Grayson as Batman.
Uh-huh.
And I think maybe that tied into just what you were talking about. That was a great book, too. That was written by who's the guy that wrote the Owl storyline? Snyder?
Yeah, Scott mm-hmm. Snyder.
Scott Snyder, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Scott Snyder?
Yeah, I think so.
Black Mirror, very good. And then that's kind of where I'm at now. These will hopefully last me a few months before I have to go back.
Yeah, No, I...
Yeah.
What have I been... I picked up a bunch of stuff at Comic-Con that had been sitting in a pile for a long time. And let me see. I just finished reading... I saw it at Comic-Con, like, in a bargain bin. And I guess Viz Media has been releasing a lot of manga... in uh-huh. these, like, their old manga in, and they've been putting like 3 manga books in one giant book. You know what I'm saying? And they're re-releasing a lot of series this way. So, because I think a lot of fans get like turned off because it's like, man, I gotta read 20 books. But for some reason, if you're getting like 3 books that you paid like $10 for originally, and it's only costing you 20 books and 20 bucks, and it's just one giant trade paperback, I think they think that fans are thinking that it's a better deal, which it is. But one of the things that I just finished reading was the Neon Genesis Evangelion manga, which I had never read before, because I guess I had this sort of like American thing of like, oh, well, I really enjoyed the anime and, you know, the comic is not going to be as good or whatever. But that's really weird, because anytime I've read a manga based on an anime or an anime based on, you know, whatever, the manga's always superior, because they can just, much like a comic book or a novel, they can spend so much time, you know, delving into stuff that the cartoon show couldn't do. And this Neon Genesis Evangelion, which you guys probably haven't watched the series at all, but and you know, these books have been around for a long time, but for me, as someone who had never read them, it was really, well, the art is amazing, is fantastic. Although, like much manga, there's a little bit of a, you know, huge obsession with speed lines, you know, which kind of can obscure some of the artwork sometimes. But it's really weird, because the main character in the TV show, his name is Shinji. He, in the animated show, is really, a lot of people like really dislike him because he's very whiny and he's very down on himself and the world, and he can't pull himself out of this funk. And that's one of the things that I always kind of like really enjoyed about the character, was because he's almost like depressive, you know what I mean? Like, he can't see a way out of anything. And in this comic, it's really weird. It's the same take, but it's like he's got a little bit more of a backbone. And now that I'm a little older, I much older than from when I first saw the series, it's like I identified with the anime when I first saw it, which was probably in my mid-20s. And now I sort of really like this manga version of the same character, where they've given him a little more backbone. He's still a bit of a, like, lost soul, but they've kind of given him a bit more personality, and they're fleshing the story out a little more. So, I mean, I would have to say I really recommend this for anybody who hasn't read it. You know, it's like $20 for, like, I think four books of manga. You know, when originally they came out, they were probably like $10 each. So it's a really good deal. And for anybody who likes, like, giant robots or, you know, sort of like teenage angst stories, that sort of thing, it's a really good read. And just the artwork, you know, to me, manga artwork is absolutely fantastic, even though I think a lot of people have problems with it, but I just love the detail and everything. So for me, this was a good pick. And as soon as I finished this book, I just, off of Amazon, I ordered the next one right away, because I was like, wow, I want to see where they're going with this, because at this point, this is the third take, because they've got the original series. They just started redoing the movies, which you guys should check out on Blu-ray if you ever get a chance.
Yeah, I do want to see those.
Yeah, and the Blu-rays look amazing, and the sound is amazing. And now you've got this third take, which is the comic book series. So it's like really weird how, well, it's really amazing how the Japanese just will, like, you know, make several iterations of the same thing, and they're all faithful, but they're all kind of different at the same time.
Why couldn't RoboCop learn from them?
I don't get it. It's really weird. And then the thing that I'm reading right now is I'm reading the third trade paperback of The Sixth Gun, which I don't know if you guys have ever read this book, but it's sort of like a supernatural Western. And honestly, this is like one of my favorite comic books ever. Like, I love this book. I love the artwork. I love the writing. I love everything about this book. And I think the fifth volume is coming out soon, but I was waiting till Comic-Con to pick up 3 and 4. And I picked those up, and they'd been sitting around. But I'm almost finished with volume 3. And I started reading it yesterday. So this will tell you, like, how much I really, really enjoy this series. So I would recommend The Sixth Gun. You guys got to check that out. I mean, if you like Westerns, if you like stuff like Buffy or Angel or even Firefly, the characters are sort of like that, you know, like a little bit like Joss Whedon-y, but not really. It's hard to explain, but or if you like Preacher, like that sort of thing, like like I said, supernatural Western. This is definitely a book to pick up, and the artist, gosh, what's his name? I can't remember off the top of my head, but he's just fantastic. So
cool.
I don't know. Yeah, but I really have been very impressed. I don't know. Paul, you got anything that you're reading right now, or?
Yeah, not really reading so much. You know, just watching. You know, Antiviral was a cool little find. Dread is on Netflix streaming.
I love it. If you just watched it again.
Yeah, actually, just had a friend who posted on Facebook. Gosh, I wish I had thought of this. He said, "You know, everyone would be totally quiet right now if they would have gotten the team that made Dread to do the RoboCop remake."
It's true.
So I've you know, between all the different jobs that I'm working, I'm not really you know, reading a lot, but I'm in the process of watching a few things. Oh, and I just started watching Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah. I want to check that out.
Yeah.
It's
so far,
to be a really good show.
I'm about 3/4 of the way through the first season, and you know, I really, really love it. It's Ron Perlman, you know, he's just fantastic, and Katie Sagal is unbelievable. Like, she's just unstoppable in this show. It's one of the strongest characters that you know, that I've seen in a long time.
It's interesting that you mentioned Ron Perlman. And I listened to an interview on The Treatment, you know, Elvis Mitchell's show with Guillermo del Toro. And, you know, he was talking about Ron Perlman, and he was saying, like, oh, this guy's like my brother. I would die for him, and how much he had to stick up for him so that he would be Hellboy. And he had to walk away from a couple of, you know, offers to make Hellboy because they didn't want Ron Perlman in it. But, one of the things that he called out was this movie called War of the Gargantuans or something? A Japanese, like...
Yeah, War of the Gargantuans.
I've never seen this movie, and it's on its way to me soon via Netflix, but have you guys seen this thing?
Yeah.
Is it any good? Like, it looks brilliant. I can't wait.
Is it what I think it is?
It's not good in the conventional sense. But it's also amazing.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was like, I don't know, 11 or something like that.
Yep.
So come on, you know, it's outstanding. It's just giant monsters beating the crap out of each other through Tokyo.
Dude, here's the thing, Russ Tamblyn in it?
Well,
was he?
Yeah.
I don't know who's. Let's put it this way. I don't know who's in it, and all I remember from it. I was really excited it was on, but the costumes look really smelly.
Yeah.
The gargantuan is like, it looks like the monster who basically had to live in like the smelliest part of the island.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if they address that in the show, in the movie, but there's also a lot of fighting. I remember a lot of slow-mo fighting.
Yeah.
And just when you think it's over, it's not.
I can't wait to watch this freaking thing.
Dude, you're absolutely right. It was Russ Tamblyn.
Russ Tamblyn's in it because I watched the trailer of West Side Story fame, also one of my favorite movies of all time.
Gargantuan had a profound effect on me. They would always run it on, like, Channel 11 in the tri-state area.
How did I miss that? Because so many of my East Coast friends were like, how have you never seen this movie? It was on, you know, Sunday afternoons, like, all the time. I was like, really?
Yeah. It's out there. I mean, you don't... I never got the impression that, like, if Gargantuan stepped up against King Kong or Godzilla, that he would fare well at all. But at the same time, there are some amazing, like, just feats of strength where you're like, whoa, this... You don't mess with Gargantuan, you know?
Well, the reason that I'm dying to watch it is because, you know, Guillermo del Toro, he cited it as, you know, something that influenced, you know, some of the shots and stuff in Pacific Rim. So I was just like, I got to check this out. But I guess it's kind of hard to find on DVD now.
Imagine that. But it's I grew up watching, you know, like all of these things because I mean, literally, you know, when there was like movie day at school,
Yeah.
We would watch Godzilla movies. Like that's what they would put on for
Oh,
us.
that's cool.
So, you know, yeah, so we saw War of the Gargantuas, we saw, you know, Mothra, we saw
Wow.
Rodan, you know, Ghidorah. I mean, like we saw like all of these movies. And in like 16 millimeter, you know, like they had these, they set it up in the cafeteria and like turned on, you know,
Oh,
let the movies roll and everything.
that's amazing.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah, I didn't even realize until I started watching Sons of Anarchy that the lead from Pacific Rim is the guy from Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah, I just
Yeah.
read that the other day.
Well,
And
apparently
so,
he signed up for 50 Shades of Grey, right?
it did he?
Yeah, and apparently there was this huge online outcry. I guess we thought like the Ben Affleck thing was crazy. I guess
Yeah.
the woman and the man who have been cast in that movie, people were flipping out. Like I guess several online petitions got started, and it's
Well,
like I don't know.
I guess if there's any lesson that we've learned from this, it's that no one should ever try to create or remake anything ever.
Well, I just, where's the original ideas, you know? Because honestly, that RoboCop trailer, you could have taken that thing, you could have called it something else. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't, and this is what I don't get. It's like the whole, like have you seen the ads for Ironsides? Like,
Oh, I love
man.
that. I love those billboards.
But what
Those are
is, like,
hysterical.
Ironsides is like
Okay.
a 50s show. Like,
Well, here's my here,
that nobody
okay, here's
remembers.
Did you see him punching on the thing? He's like,
No,
like
I didn't see him punch.
wheelchair
Okay, here's my
hand-to-hand combat is the best. And I'm like,
Really?
here's my problem
Yeah.
with Ironside, you know, other than the fact that, you know, there's no Raymond Burr.
He's dead.
They well yeah. Why didn't they cast Daryl Mitchell
Who's
as
Daryl
Ironside?
Mitchell?
The guy, he was the guy from Galaxy Quest. You know the black member of the Galaxy Quest crew. He's a legitimately you know he was in a motorcycle accident. He's in a wheelchair. He's a fantastic actor. You've got a great African American actor in a wheelchair.
Oh, for real?
But we had to cast what was it, Blair Underwood? Is it?
Wait, is he really in a wheelchair?
Yeah, for real.
Oh.
Not Blair
Yeah.
Underwood, the other guy that Paul's talking
Yeah,
about.
yeah, yeah, no,
Yeah.
no, yeah, Daryl Mitchell. Daryl Mitchell. And I'm
Right.
just like, man, it's like, I feel like that's a missed opportunity because, like, this guy is, like, a legitimately good actor who, you know, who's not faking it. I mean, like, this is his real life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
so for me, it's like, ooh, you know, the casting sort of irritated me because it's like there are tons of like disabled actors out there who, you know,
Yeah.
could work in this and, you know, but they went ahead and, you know, did the pretty boy thing, you
Well,
know, and
yeah, but and that is a big deal. I am not like that's effed up, you know, that is a total Hollywood move. But I don't get why
you gotta see this
Ironsides,
movie.
like I don't get like the brand. Like, okay, the reasoning behind doing stuff like this is that because you've got a brand. You've got a brand that people are familiar with, and people are gonna go, "Hey, RoboCop, I wanna check that out. Hey, this, I wanna check that out. Hey, blah blah blah." Like, who is gonna Ironsides? Really?
The same people that are gonna flock to the Kojak remake, buddy.
I don't get it. Like it makes no sense. And then to do exactly what you said, which is not to cast a legitimately, you know, disabled
Disabled
or
actor,
whatever
yeah.
you want to call it, it's doubly insulting. It's just like what, like
Well, maybe they're using this other actor as the stunt double.
I don't know, man. I just think that it's just I look at that, and to me, that's just the worst. that Hollywood has to offer. It's just like Ironside. Like, is that the Ironside? Like, can you imagine the studio exec? We've got this thing. It's called Iron. The kids love Ironside. The kids are gonna love it. They're gonna come flocking to it. It's gonna be great. And then, you know, it's Blair Underwood. Kids love Blair Underwood, don't they?
What network is it on?
It's on NBC.
Yeah, NBC is sort of throwing everything against the wall to see what sticks at this point.
That's the shit that ain't gonna stick, I'll tell you that.
Come on.
You should see the preview. You should see him throw a couple punches from the wheelchair. You change your mind.
I did see the trailer. I thought it looked ridiculous. Speaking of upcoming TV shows, dude, 2 weeks till Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I know. I'm very excited about that.
I'm letting you guys take that one on. I want no part of that.
What? Why?
It's not going to have a budget. You're not going to get... You're going to get blurry shots of super freaks in the background.
It's Joss Whedon.
It doesn't... If he can continue to write characters that are half as entertaining as anything on Buffy, Angel, or Firefly, then I'm happy.
That's true. I mean, I didn't realize he's writing it. I thought he just created it. He's writing it?
He's writing some parts of it, yeah. But
he did the pilot, right?
Yeah, he did the pilot. As far as like the actual show running goes, I think it's his brother Jed, who was who worked on his other shows too. So
And he also worked on, I think, Spartacus too, which was a fantastic show. Yeah.
This pilot aired yet?
No, in 2 weeks.
It aired at Comic-Con. It was shown at Comic-Con, and it was all anybody who had seen it would talk about. You know.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah.
Just to make us feel bad who hadn't seen it.
By the way, I'm sorry, before I forget, so I did see Riddick.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not 100% yet taking it back, but Dave Bautista made an appearance in this movie. And as you remember, I pointed out any movie with Dave Bautista automatically is no good, being that, you know, he does have a role in Guardians of the Galaxy coming up. Uh-huh. But Dave Bautista... I gotta say, I'm almost a Dave Bautista fan after seeing Riddick.
Okay.
He didn't have a huge part, but
that is huge.
He didn't detract from the story. Let's put it that way. Like
was a story to detract from.
there was some decent writing in Riddick. I didn't see one or two.
Oh, you've never seen Pitch Black?
No, I didn't even know what I was doing. Oh. I went into the theater.
They just handed you a ticket.
Yeah, I know. You know. Like, Ian was like, dum-de-dum-de-dum.
I walked in. I passed the guy in the street. He's like, go see Riddick. I'm like, okay. So,
right now.
No, but, they did too many shots where they just stayed on what's that guy's name?
Diesel, Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel.
Riddick. Yeah, they really played up the I could see in the dark thing, and sometimes it would just be a static shot of him like slowly turning, and I'm like, okay, I've seen this shot like a dozen times. You showed me this shot. But they took their time with it. They had some good fights, some good battles, and there was definitely some decent writing. There were some jokes in it. I actually really enjoyed it.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
I'm not a Vin Diesel fan, man.
What's that?
I'm not a Vin Diesel fan.
No, I don't think I am either. I think he thinks
But Pitch Black's a good movie.
Pitch Black's great. I think he thinks he's a lot tougher than he is.
Yeah. Apparently he's like my height.
Yeah, all these guys are short, you know?
It's weightlifting.
Everyone from
it stunts your
growth. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt. All these guys are tiny people.
it's because the weights stunt your growth.
Yeah. but anyway, I would recommend Riddick, and I heard
Katie Sackhoff takes her top off, the blonde from Battlestar Galactica.
He was fantastic. Is she the blonde?
Yeah, yeah.
She's awesome. What is she from?
Battlestar Galactica.
I knew it. Yeah, she killed in this movie. Honestly, she killed.
Yeah, did you hear the big rumor? That she might be she might be up for Captain Marvel, one of the next Marvel.
Perfect.
I think she'd be awesome.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, she would be absolutely perfect. I mean, I mean, no, she totally killed. I think the name of her character was Doll, D-O-L-L. And she was a lesbian. But she literally kicked ass. Like, her acting, her character, everything was on point. Everything.
See, I'm curious to see this movie because I like sci-fi stuff, but I'll probably wait till it comes out on video. I still never saw The Chronicles of Riddick.
Neither did I. I didn't see any of that.
I did. Oh. It's really interesting. I mean, it's sort of a completely different style of movie than Pitch Black was. It's like sort of goes for a more like epic space fantasy kind of thing, you know, where the first one was just very much, you know, a horror slash survival movie in space.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that this one's probably a return more to like what Pitch Black was. I wouldn't call it a total misstep because like a lot of it was really interesting and there were some gorgeous visuals in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely sort of highlighted the limitations of Riddick as a character. You know what I mean?
There was a cameo by Mr. Carl Urban.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And they left it open. They left it open for a whole nother one, which would involve a whole movie with Carl Urban.
Vin Diesel, like, I just don't get it. Vin Diesel's amazing.
No, I'm saying in his own way, he's amazing because he produces a lot of his own stuff. He does pretty unique stuff within the Hollywood system.
Fast and Furious, or like what?
He's
else?
Got these huge franchises. And he's just this dude who talks like this.
Yeah.
There were points in Riddick where he's sitting there and they're like, what? They're like all pissed at Riddick because like Riddick's just finding ways to kill people, you know? They're like, come on, Riddick, what the hell? Riddick's like, I'll tell you what's gonna happen. In 5 minutes, I'm gonna kill you, and
I'm
then your
so
girl is
he's...
gonna have sex with me.
I'm just glad that he's just doing a voice in one of the Marvel movies. I mean, when that rumor broke that he might be the Vision, I was just like, oh, I don't know about this dude.
Wasn't he Iron Giant?
Yeah,
he was. He was the voice of the Iron Giant.
And that, I think it's his best performance.
Yeah.
His best performance that I've seen. I just remember seeing him in Saving Private Ryan, and every time he opened his mouth, I was like, oh, God. But I don't know. People like him. I can't, you know, whatever.
He's got a very... very interest, you know. I could see how he could appeal to some people. I think
the ladies love him. The ladies like him.
I think he's very interesting.
He puts asses in seats.
Honestly, yeah. If you picked him over Ben Affleck for Batman, I think.
Oh God, no! Shut your mouth! Shut your mouth! Stop before you start.
Look,
I would
kill
myself. I think he would have been good as like if they were gonna do something. I guess. Where they would do sort of like what they did with what's his face, Lord of the Rings, blah 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 blah, Gollum, where they they did like
motion
a,
capture,
like a motion capture of the Hulk.
Yeah,
I think he would have been really good as that. You know, or used like a physical body somehow. But you know, I'm whatever. I'm not going to begrudge the guy his success. He's like you said, he's really smart. And from what I understand, he started off making his own like small movies. So, which I've never seen. I've never seen any of the stuff that he's done on his own. But I'm just, my friends at work are trying to convince me to start watching the Fast and the Furious movies. I'm just
be
like,
careful.
I have no
be
desire.
Careful with those. It's like Kung Fu, you know, with cars.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of him standing around in like a white wife beater with white pants.
Yeah.
Just being like, let's steal these cars. and that's the worst impression. But I liked him in Riddick, and he's definitely an acquired taste. What's that?
Triple X. Didn't he make a movie called Triple X?
Oh, yeah.
I think
Triple
I saw that
X.
on video, and I thought it was, you know, okay. I don't
know. That was his attempt to sort of do a James Bondish kind of character.
Right.
Yeah.
For what it was fine, you know.
Yeah.
I guess.
I quite like him.
Wait, so Paul, are you going to go see Riddick?
Maybe, but I mean, there's... Dude, I'm so behind in my movie making. I haven't even seen The World's End yet.
I haven't seen The World's End.
That's what I really want to see.
I haven't seen Kick-Ass 2.
Yeah, no, I've been out of town. I went to my 25th high school reunion in Las
Whoa.
Vegas
Awesome.
a couple of weekends ago. Oh, and while I was there, I went to the Eli Roth's Goratorium.
Oh,
Cool.
It's like
how
his
was
sort of
that?
haunted house kind of thing. I found a 50% off coupon online and went to there. It's standard. I mean,
What
if you
is
get
it, like
over
a
the
haunted
fact.
house?
Yeah, it's sort of like a haunted. It's basically that you go there and it's set up like you're taking a tour of a hotel that was there, and the backstory behind it is that there were the hotel was run by this sort of cannibalistic family that would sort of
Oh.
prey on people who were down on their luck, in the early days of Vegas, and that when. That they were put under by the cops and everything, and then when they were doing the renovation here, that they uncovered, this thing, and you're looking at preserved thing. But it's got some really nice set design on it, and some really good gore effects. There weren't any effects that I hadn't seen outside of other, either haunted houses or, venues. I mean, there's even you remember the ice tunnel at the Universal Studios tour for the 6 million? Yeah, that makes an appearance in it.
Really? How
That
big is
sort of
this
effect and
thing?
everything. It's pretty big. It's basically it's on one of the floors there at at the Planet Hollywood Casino over there. It's a
Oh.
it's pretty big. It's not like huge. I mean, it's pretty it was entertaining. I had a good time.
Gotcha. Wow. Well,
But
yeah, I'll have to. Have you heard about his latest movie? Like,
Green Inferno.
yeah, the new Cannibal movie?
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the vein of Cannibal Holocaust and all of
Yeah.
those sort of 70s super exploitation movies. So no, yeah,
Jeez.
it's I'm a I'm sort of a I'm a semi fan of his. I'm not a huge,
Yeah, me neither.
He's kind of hit or miss with me, but like
Yeah.
I kind of dig the guy's ethos, and like what he tries to do.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was interesting. It was a good time. I ended up meeting some people there who were from my like small town that I was born in
Oh,
Georgia.
wow. Are they
Yeah,
cannibals too?
they were not cannibals. The for the most part, it's pretty much a standard haunted house, just with like really well done effects.
Oh,
And
wow.
if you're in Vegas and you get the chance to drop by,
I would check
you
that out.
by all means check it out. It's
Yeah.
got a fantastic bar at the end of it
Yeah.
that sort of opens up right onto the strip. It's outdoors. You're just sitting there, and it's relatively inexpensive drinks for Las Vegas. And you get to watch people as they come out of this thing,
Yeah.
and so some of them are really worked up and frightened, and some of them are just kind of silly, and go late in the evening, and it's a good time.
Hey, speaking of Eli Roth, have either of you checked out that Hemlock Grove thing that he did for Netflix?
I was planning on starting that, but I hear mixed reviews.
Yeah, I heard an early review and someone was just like, "This is no good." And I'm like, "Wow." Because a lot of that other Netflix, I know Heidi killed Black is the New Orange or Orange is the New
Oh, I
Black.
want to see that. I do want to
That
check
thing
that
did
out.
really, really, really well, and Kevin Spacey's just become this kind of like, do you notice he's become this like savant of the internet?
Yeah,
Like
he's
he's
really.
everywhere he goes, he gives speeches about streaming and this
Yeah,
and that,
yeah.
and I mean, I really love what he did, and he's just a character, but yeah, it's interesting because Hemlock Grove it was like their horror entry, right?
Yeah,
Yeah,
well, it's I saw the first episode.
all the horror people that I know have seen, basically they said like after watching the first episode or two that they just sort of knew, yeah, this isn't really for me.
Well, I saw the first episode and I was definitely like, this is not for me because it seems like Eli Roth doing CW slash Twilight wannabe stuff. And I was like, I don't get
Ew.
it because I really think that he's kind of beyond that. And to
Yeah.
me, Hemlock Grove seemed a little bit like trying to tap into the money. You know what I mean? As opposed to like trying to do something like this is my own, and this is like it seemed like he might have seen like Twilight or stuff like that, or like soap opera stuff, teenage soap opera stuff, and was kind of trying to put a David Cronenberg sort of spin on it with, you know, the teen romance, and there's a werewolf, and I don't know, but Famke Janssen was in it, and she was a little weird. I just, the first episode didn't suck me in, and if a first episode of something doesn't make me at least go like, huh, you know, I gotta check this out a little more, then I'm out, and I didn't even bother with the second episode. It sucks too, because Lily Taylor's in it, she's really talented, and you know, Famke Janssen, she's been known to, you know, do good stuff, I guess, you know. So I was very surprised, very, very kind of disappointed with it. But I don't know. Apparently, the ratings were huge or whatever. Netflix is saying it was huge. So maybe a lot of people did like it. But it wasn't, I guess, hardcore enough horror for me, you know?
Yeah.
It wasn't what I was expecting from Eli Roth, and especially from something that was like on, you know, on, you know, for all intents and purposes, on demand, you know, Netflix.
Right.
I expected it to be a little more hardcore than it was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. So, any other thoughts for this week?
Well, I'm glad we got to do this.
Yes.
I'm glad we got to finally hang out after the, you know, the ordeal.
Oh,
it's always
God.
Good when Gargantuan comes up. I know that.
Gargantuan. War of the Gargantuan. Yeah, well, I mean, that's the big thing, you know. I had to install a new hard drive into my laptop. I didn't have to. I wanted to. So that's kind of why we've been away. Like, one weekend was spent, you know, kind of just redoing that and, you know, uninstalling, reinstalling software, dealing with the new install of Windows and blah blah blah. So that's why I've been away. But
superhero wise, movie wise, is Thor the next? What is the next superhero movie coming out?
Thor.
It is Thor.
I believe so.
Yeah. Which looks. Okay. I thought the first trailer looked better than the last trailer.
And
I think I'm a little over Loki, to tell you the honest truth. I'm kind of, because it's funny, because in that second trailer, you know, Loki's like, you must be so desperate. And I'm like, come on. They did that in the Avengers. Like, do we really need to hear that?
Yeah, I got to tell you, though, Christian, I kind of felt the same way, but then I saw a video online of Tom Hiddleston doing a scene with Cookie Monster.
Yeah, I know. That's awesome.
And that kind of renewed my interest in the character.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to see it. I like the first Thor. I like everything that Marvel is really doing. I have faith in them. It looks very like Lord of the Rings, you know, to me.
Yeah.
More on Asgard. So I'll be psyched. And the director's from Game of Thrones, right? He's one of the Game of Thrones directors. So I'll be psyched to see it. But I think that's the next big, like, geek movie. Now we're gearing up for, like, Oscar season, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly there's a lot of good stuff coming out that hopefully we'll be able to talk about in the future. But in any case, this has been another frustrating episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Well, the episode itself was not frustrating leading up to it. Jesus. People are going to think I'm an idiot, because this is like every couple episodes, it's like we're talking about how hard it was to connect. It's simple. It should
That's
be
okay.
Simple.
People think I'm an idiot for completely different reasons.
Yeah. Well, I am an idiot. Anyway, this has been another episode of Part-Time Fanboy. I'm Christian Horn. That's Ian Scheller. That is Paul Edwards. Thank you for joining us and putting up with our nonsense. And hopefully we'll have another episode relatively soon, within the next week or so. Thanks for checking us out. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yep, that was Vin Diesel.
I got it.
See you later.
Later. It's not Stallone.
I gotta work on that.
It's not Stallone.
I'll see you in hell.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's perfect.
Cool, guys. All right, thanks
dudes.
For being so
All
patient.
Right, guys.
Sorry
no worries,
to take
man.
Up your whole night.
All right. We'll talk with you later, dude.
All right, guys. Later.
All right. Bye-bye.
Later.
Ciao.
Bye.
Bye.
How do you hang up on this thing?
Part-time fanboy.